You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby, British Columbia.
Music and talk radio about all things, all genders. This is Intravenous, live on CJSF 90.1 FM, discussing and approaching contemporary gender issues through a feminist lens. Our goal is to educate, engage, and challenge the dominant hegemony.
And welcome to Intravenous here on CJSF 90.1 FM, campus and community radio from the top of Burnaby Mountain, where we broadcast on the unceded ancestral territories of the Coquitlam, the Musqueam, the Squamish, and the Tsleil-Waututh people. I'm Robin, and I am one of the hosts in studio today. I'm joined by Nat.
Hello.
We are happy to be here together on the air, aren't we?
Very much so. This is my first time doing this, so I'm a little nervous, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. And I just ran off the bus, so I'm a little scatterbrained still, but that's okay. That's usually how mornings go, I think, with a lot of folks, even morning people, which I am, feel a little bit scattered. So today's show is going to be a little bit ad hoc. We were actually planning to have a third wheel with us, and that didn't work out because they got into school, and those darn classes interfere with that radio making that we do here at CJSF. So it's just Nat and I, and we decided how we were going to sort of approach today was that we would bring a discussion topic or something that was, you know, top of mind, and present it, and play some music, have a little bit of discussion. And so neither of us know what we're going to discuss, and that'll make it extra exciting.
Yeah.
For both of us, for all of us here involved. I think the best way to sort of set the gears in motion is to play a little music, get a little song action happening, and I have a song that I'll just start off with. As I was leaving the house today, for some reason, this CD that I haven't played in at least 100 years just called out to me. And so I went digging through my stash and threw it in my bag. And we're going to hear a track off of it. It's Nellie McKay. It's called Get Away From Me. The CD is called Get Away From Me, and the track that we're going to hear is called Ding Dong.
My cat died, and I quickly poured myself some gin. Did she die from old age, or was it for my sins? God, I loved her all so much. Miss her little kitty touch. Does she miss me? Does she care? Oh, I miss her kitty stare. Do you have a little time? Would you like to ease my mind? Talk for hours and never stop. Chop your head off. Be a lighter person, brighter person, nicer. But you've heard it all before. So ding dong, there's the doorbell. Hello, man in white. He's gonna make you all well, get you through the night. But hey now, you don't feel better as you take your fresh bromide. Maybe this man of letters lied. Let me tell you about a dream I had the other.
in it, boy, you sure gave me a super fright. I was walking down the street, downtown by the DMV. You popped out behind a door, it was odd, you're on all fours. Do you have some time to spare? You were barking at a bear. It said, hey, you'd better stop, chop your head off. Be a lighter person, brighter person, nicer. But you've heard it all before. So ding dong, there's the doorbell. Hello, man in red. He's gonna make you all well, get you into bed. But hey now, you don't feel better as you wake and slowly rise. Maybe the smooth jet set alive. Smarter than you think. Do I sound like an old bore? Oh man, it's just the drink. I didn't always hit the gym. There were times when I fit in. They'll never know how much I tried. Did I tell you my cat died? Do you have a little time? Would you like to feel sublime? Run away and never stop. Chop your head off. Be a lighter person, brighter person, nicer. But you've heard it. So ding dong, there's the doorbell. Hello, man in black. He's gonna make you all well. There's no going back. But hey, now you don't feel better as you drift off in the tide. Maybe this Jack the Ripper lied and you die.
And we're back here on Intravenous. That was a track by Nellie McKay off of her album Get Away From Me and a song called Ding Dong. Kind of a sprightly little melody to get us going here this morning. And once again, I'm Robin.
Hi, and I'm Nat.
And I should be a little bit more forthcoming, I guess, is the word. Nat is our very brand new arts and entertainment coordinator here at the station, and so is fairly new to the whole on-air and radio thing, but quite excited about being here. Do you want to just give us a little?
Yeah, sure. So yeah, this is actually only the second time I've been in a little radio room. The first time was with you the other day during Roots and Berries. I'm a student at SFU. I'm a third year anthropology student, and I've just started here at CGSF as the arts and entertainment coordinator, and I'm still sort of finding all of the systems and the knobs and the levers and the dials and still trying to get my bearing.
Yes, which will take some time, but happy to have you join me on the show today. During the song break, we had discussed that you would just jump right in and share what's top of mind about gender things.
So, I was really kind of mining through all of Vancouver's local news for anything gender-related. And the piece I ended up finding was a Q&A in the Tai. And it's written by Katie Hislop, and it's a Q&A with Trans Cathet, which is a local kind of trans community organization in the very small town of Powell River on the Sunshine Coast, which astoundingly is apparently this small town, I think, has, I think, not anywhere like around 10,000 people maybe at the most. Is in the top 15 highest trans populations in Canada for no apparent reason. And actually, as a percentage of the population, that's higher than Vancouver, which is really interesting. So that there's no sort of particular reason why there's such a large community there. Some people have speculated it might be because of the low cost of living compared to, you know, Vancouver or Victoria, and there's lots of artists and stuff like that. And yeah, it's a really interesting kind of heartwarming Q&A with these people who have started this local kind of advocacy and just community and support organization in this small town. Because, you know, trans people and queer people generally in rural areas kind of, there are these kind of specific issues. One of the things they talk about is a kind of lack of anonymity, you know. If you go, you know, to this thing, everyone knows everyone, people will see you, people will know it. It can be a little awkward. And also, you know, there's kind of issues with healthcare access and stuff. But as like a queer person from a rural area myself, a very rural area in England, there's definitely kind of an interesting thing where I found that these rural areas can have either kind of lack of community, which I have to say was my experience. I sort of didn't know any other queer people growing up. But, you know, in other cases such as this one, and I've heard from similar friends, from similar things from friends who live in rural areas, you know, you can also have these very kind of strong, tight-knit queer communities in rural areas just because there are, you know, there's so few people and you kind of have to stick together. Whereas in the city, which is sort of imagined as where queer people are, I suppose, that there's sort of a stereotype or an ideal of kind of this idea of, you know, the queer person from the country kind of escapes and they move to the big city and that's where their life kind of starts. And I have to say that's true for me, to be honest. That was basically my experience when I moved to London in Britain. But, you know, there's kind of like these like challenging and kind of different ideas of how queer people sort of live and interact and find their ways in rural areas, because there is, yeah, this stereotype that queer people are sort of not a rural people. They're sort of, you know, they're born there maybe, but then they have to leave and that's when life begins. But there's also, I think, kind of a almost like a rural ideal that seems to appeal to queer people that sort of competes with that. So, you know, it seems quite common, at least in my experience of my friends and people I talk to, there's kind of a, and maybe it's not even totally serious, but there's a kind of a fantasy of sort of leaving the city and going into a kind of, and getting away from maybe capitalist or industrial society and living on a farm or something like that. And, you know, I think that has actually contributed to this interesting history of, like, I guess queer and trans, almost rural sort of colonies that have happened. And there are a couple in the United States today. But I think, you know, you can trace back this whole history to, you know, in the 1970s, there were these kind of lesbian separatist women's land movements that had these, you know, kind of colonies in rural America and Australia and all these places. And ironically, these were kind of, without fail, usually not very welcoming to trans people, or at the very least not trans women. But yeah, there are these kind of dueling ideas about the ways that queer and trans people should interact with like rurality in the rural world. And there's a lot of kind of idealism and hope there as well of kind of an escape from the city, which is so full of people. And but then there's also like these sort of rural realities of, you know, feeling alone and isolated. And this kind of trans Catholic support group is, I think, trying to sort of contest that and kind of carve out a space, but a bit of maybe less idealized, but just kind of a place to be in the countryside.
Mm-hmm. So interesting. And it just points so pointedly to the ways that our brains sort of stereotype things, you know, and we wanna kind of pigeonhole, you know, how certain things look or how certain people look and where certain people belong. And it makes me think about, not so much in the queer community, but when a good friend of mine bought land in the country, and all of a sudden she was meeting all of these other people who were not living this sort of quote-unquote redneck rural life, you know, that they were very witchy and they were very new agey, or, you know, like they had this I didn't find my tribe in the city, and so I've moved to the country and I've found this group of people that I was sort of unexpectedly found.
Yeah, I know that I'm not an expert in the history, but I know if you read about these kind of lesbian separatist and feminist communes in kind of rural Ohio and stuff in the 70s, I think a lot of them were very tied into this kind of new age movement and kind of ideas of like goddess stuff and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the fact that, you know, these smaller communities can support the level of, I'm not sure that it's diversity or acceptance are the words that I'm looking for per se, but like the expansion into what's more than what we would think, almost, you know, is kind of a testament to being able to work within a smaller population, you know, and sort of maneuver within a smaller population. Because as you mentioned, Nat, there's, you know, these tendencies for smaller communities to be, you know, kind of ingrained and embedded in the, this is the way, and this is the way, and this is the way it's always going to be, right?
It was definitely my experience with like a rural community growing up.
And so when there's that opening, I guess, for something bigger and something different to happen, that's really exciting. You know, there's so much possibility there. I think about Powell River in particular because I know a little bit about Powell River and have some folks that I know there. And their efforts in terms of like a big piece of the community is to decolonize, you know, like they do a lot of decolonizing work. They have a community radio station there also. There's a fellow whose podcast we run here called Scream Therapy. So that this sort of punk rock community is fairly strong there in Powell River. And I can't help think that there's a piece of that that feeds into this welcoming.
Yeah, for sure. I should definitely mention, you know, there are these challenges, but they really emphasize the Powell River is quite it's a very accepting space. And I'm not sure what the sort of numbers are in terms of trans people in Powell River in this specific organization of how many people are from that area themselves or how many have moved there, because I know the Sunshine Coast tends to attract a lot of artists. Like I've met people who seem to live in these just absolutely tiny towns, which are completely gorgeous but quite remote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, when it takes two ferries to get to somewhere, right? It's you have to really want to get there. So, yeah, I just pulled up what I think is the article that you were referring to on the Tai, and this space. It's sort of that the interview is based around, really grew out of the need, though, for the fact that there was no dedicated safe space, right? And for both trans and gender diverse people to gather and to meet each other. And so they created that to happen. And I think that, you know, whether you're in a big city or whether you're in a smaller place, that idea of having safer, braver space for people to gather, you know, however you're identifying, whether, you know, it's within the trans or queer community, or whether it's ethnic or color community, those always spring up because there's a lack.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think it can go both ways. I mean, there's maybe definitely a lack that you need to sort of intentionally create something, but I don't think it necessarily means that there's hostility or bigotry. I think it's, you know, even if you're in a very accepting place, it can just be nice to be around people who are like you in this way, whether it's based on sexuality or gender or ethnicity or something like that.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Not suggesting that it's because there's a hostile environment, but, you know, like you say, there's just this sort of, I don't know, it's like you can let your hair down, right? And just like take a big breath and let it out when you're with your peeps.
For sure.
We can definitely post the link to that article in the show notes, so that if folks are wanting to read up a little bit more about that and see, you know, how they're doing what they're doing, and, you know, if there's little idiosyncrasies maybe of, you know, what they're learning that might translate to other communities, that would be great.
Yeah, they have a wonderful website, and they do mention sort of working with, I think it's called Trans Connect, and that's in the Kootenays region, and they've sort of had a lot of like similar experiences in terms of, you know, doing community building work and doing workshops outside of the community as well in another kind of rural BC setting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, lots of little rural places in the interior for sure. All right. Maybe time for a song break?
For sure. And I think we're going to play I Just Want to Make the Whole Earth Smile by Girls Rituals, which is a trans musician in Ontario, I believe.
I just want to make the world smile. I just want to make the world dance. God knows where I am. God knows where I am. You can touch my angel wing. Yank a feather from my back. You can have all the love in the world, even if the world stands. I just wanna make the whole earth smile. I just wanna make the whole earth smile. I tried so hard, I did a lot. Do you believe me? I just wanna make the whole earth smile. I just wanna make the world smile. Do you think I'm bad? Do you think I'm wrong? Or I'm too slutty?
empty. I think I do something weird to get the feeling inside. I thought I'd just die if someone touched me. I think sometimes I just prefer to die. Clawed hands gripping, tear away at your skin. There's something else underneath. It hurts, it feels so good, like a glowing new shape. You look like nothing that you ever seen before. I just wanna be different, I just wanted to choose. Grind it up and repurposed it, inflate it blue. Never been in the old me, always hated the new. Always thought I was useless from perfect four.
Hey.
And welcome back to Intravenous here on CJSF 90.1 FM Campus Community Radio from Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast on the unceded ancestral territories of the Kwikwetlem, the Musqueam, the Squamish, and the Tsleil-Waututh people. My name's Robin.
And hi, I am Nat.
And we are co-hosting the program together in sort of an ad hoc way. If you're just joining the program now, we heard from a band called Girls Rituals. I just want to make the whole earth smile. How did you discover that band, Nat? You were the one who brought them to our attention?
Yeah, I actually knew someone who, I was friends with someone who did some of the music videos for their band, and they were in Vancouver, but yeah, Girls Rituals is, I believe it's one musician, Devi McCallion, I think, and she's in Toronto and in Ontario.
Cool. Yeah, looks like they have a fair amount of material released out there, and some very nice looking cover art. Love the blue.
It's very Technicolor.
It is very Technicolor, and sort of that royal, like between that royal blue and royal purple color. If you have a chance, check it out. The sort of premise of today's show, also, if you're just joining us, was that Nat and I would bring something to share that, you know, kind of struck us in the world, or, you know, that we found online or news item or what have you. And I haven't been able to get this out of my brain all week. I keep thinking about it and how it relates to so many things, I think. And so it was a clip of an old television show, and I want to say it was probably the late 70s, maybe early 80s, and it was of Lucille Ball, famous comedian, and she was there for the audience to ask questions of her and maybe, you know, prod her about her career or whatever. And the clip itself was every time a young